Good to be back. We missed you guys. We had a wonderful time. We went and hid away in the Drakensberg Mountains for a while, and I experienced thicker mist, heavier mist than I've ever experienced in my whole life. And I realized it's not actually mist, you're actually in a cloud, Mozzie. So it was a wonderful time. We had to cut it short by 3 days because of the weather. I took my bicycle with to get lost in the mountains, and I managed to ride several times in the mountains, but then it eventually got too muddy, and I just decided to come back. But we had a good break, so but it's good to be back and fellowshipping with you all. But I think I'm gonna go away now for another 6 weeks, because when I come back, there's so much has changed. There's all sorts of positive changes in the building here. So like my exalmeer moet weggaan, because dinge gebeur as ek weg is hierso. So I'm going to go again, and then who knows what the people are going to get up to in our absence over here. But it's good to see you guys. Thanks for making the time. In spite of the weather, Christians are funny creatures, especially when it rains. Hulle bly weg van kerk af. So, but it's good to have you here. Turn to somebody. The spaces are wide between us, but just say, how's it? Just half of them, shout them, say, hello. Yeah. Julle kan meer geraas maak as dit. Hallelujah. What a challenging message I have this morning that God has laid it on my heart. When you go and leave, you have time just to be still and listen. And I trust that God is going to minister into our lives this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27. It says, the eternal God is your refuge, and His everlasting arms are under you. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have of just getting together in this place this morning. We don't take for granted that we have a building that we can freely get together, Lord. We don't have to hide and be afraid of our lives because of the confession of our faith, and not yet anyway. And it's a privilege, Lord. Your word promises that we are two or more gathered in your name. There you are in the midst of them, Lord. And you're our guest of honor, Lord. We don't want to say, Lord, we welcome you in this place, because this is your place. Thank you that we can feel welcome here. Thank you that we can just be ourselves with you. We don't have to dress in a certain way or bring a fancy sacrifice, because you have done it all for us on the cross of Calvary, Lord Jesus, and it's an absolute privilege. We thank you also, Holy Spirit, for your presence here this morning. We acknowledge that we need you, and especially me, Lord. I acknowledge my dependence upon you. I've got nothing to say that can change a person's life, but you, Lord God, can minister to your life into our hearts that can set us free. And as you get around your word this morning, thank you that you minister your life into our hearts in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. That verse speaks about God. He's having everlasting arms under you. And the title of this morning's message is Rock Bottom. Sometimes in life, we'll need to reach rock bottom in order to experience the miraculous deliverance of God in our lives. If we look at the incident where Jesus told the disciples, get into the boat and I'll meet you on the other side. He said nothing about what would happen in between. And guess what? A storm broke out so bad that their lives were in danger. They got to see the miraculous power of Jesus in a way that they'd never seen on land before. They saw Jesus in the normal circumstances that they see people. They saw him walking on land. But in that instance, they saw Jesus walking on water. They experienced a dynamic of God's power and of nature, His nature, that had never seen before. I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that if they weren't in that life-threatening storm, they wouldn't have seen that miraculous part of Jesus. And then he took it a step further. He said to the storm, peace, be still. And then they wondered, who is this that he can even speak to the weather? And the weather obeys. They got to see aspects of the nature of God that they would otherwise not have known, had it been plain sailing in their lives. And it's like that in our lives. Sometimes we're going to need to reach rock bottom in order to experience the miraculous deliverance of God in our lives. And sometimes, you bet, our lives are so well organized that, you know, we don't really need the miraculous. Let's be honest with each other. We don't really need the miraculous, but when you're so desperate that all you can do is turn to God, and sometimes we need to reach rock bottom before that can be experienced in our lives. It may only be in reaching rock bottom that we'll learn that God is always underneath to catch us when we fall. Notice where the arms are. The arms are not above manipulating you like puppets on strings or having his hand over you, but underneath, where's God? Ready for when the pawpaw hits the fan and to catch us. Wanneer ons net nie meer kan nie, ons is, when we reach the end of our rope, maybe God is wanting us to let go so that we can fall into his arms, ready for him to catch us. And folks, we're speaking very personal stuff here. I don't know, maybe some of you, you've never been in a place in your life where you've experienced what you think or what others have called rock bottom. You hear about other people's experiences and you think, well, you know, I'm going to pray for you, my brother, my sister, and I hope, I really sincerely hope that you get through this. But you can't, you kan nie jou eintlik daarmee vereenselwig nie, because this is a ding wat vir jou afstandig is. It's an abstract thing. Maybe some of you have already been at rock bottom in your life. And maybe some of you are there right now. Maybe some of us are on our way to rock bottom. It's not all as bad as it may seem. I want to say this to you. I'm not a prophet of doom, but I just know the way life is. And I know that God is a builder. And God is continuously wanting to develop our character. People often ask, you know, what's my doel in die lewe? What's my purpose in life? Well, God's purpose for us all actually is to be like Jesus at the end of the day. It's to be like Jesus. We don't just have a little bit of fire insurance to keep us out of hell one day. That's not what the Christian walk is about. You see, folks, when you gave your life to Jesus, we want the promises and the benefits of the gospel, and it's good. But we also committed, whether you knew it or not, I know certainly for myself, I didn't know it in the beginning. We committed to carrying a cross daily. Carrying a what? A cross. A cross, Yella. Daily. That's what we committed to. And God is a permanent, perpetual builder. He wants to build character in our lives that we become like Jesus. We see God's purpose for our lives. I'm not going to bring it up on the overhead. Romans 8:29. It's to become like Jesus. That's what God always intended for us. That's what he intended for us. And in that process, sometimes we need to reach rock bottom. So, God is always busy building. And because of that, it's not a question of if you're going to fall in this journey of life, especially when you're a Christian. But when are you going to stumble? When are you going to fall? For those of you that have given your lives to the Lord, and I trust everybody here is this morning, if not, you're in the right place. Hallelujah. How many of you have never backslidden before? When you gave your life to the Lord, suddenly everything just went better and better and better. Isn't it so? It just went like you started here and it's just been uphill. Your growth graph has just been going up and up and up all the time, isn't it? No, how's it been? It's like this. You go up, and there's a dip. And then you go up, and then there's something happens in life. And you go, and then, you know. You see, when Peter, James, and John experienced the mountaintop experience with Jesus, and there was Moses and Elijah and Jesus. They experienced this wonderful thing. And Peter, being so excited, like most of us, hy het gepraat voordat hy gedink het. He said, Lord, let's just pitch tents here. Let's stay here because this is lekker, man. Check out all this glory. They had to leave the mountain and go back down into the demon-infested valley of real life. And we experience that. You're like on a spiritual high. It's awesome. God is answering prayers and there's breakthroughs. The physical health is there. The bucks is flowing. All the relationships are working good at home and at work. And then a phone call comes. Or you get home and die deur en die venster staan oop en die garage is leeg en hulle het alles uitgedra because people felt that they needed your positions more than you need them. And. Or you go to the doctor and he says, listen, you need to come see me. Or something happens. And I'm wondering, who come? So you get the higher revelation and the intimacy with God so that we can go down and make an impact in the valley, that we can make a difference in real life. That's real. And how many of you know, can testify that this Christian walk, it's not a walk in the park. The see ding van geen net jou hart vir Here en alles gaan goed uitwerk. So, it's not a question of if we're going to fall, but when. I want to encourage you with this. That scripture says, underneath, His everlasting arms are under you. His everlasting arms are under you. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. It says, a righteous man may fall seven times. Who may fall? Who may fall? Nie die ou wat heeltyd droog maak nie en laat leef flat out vir die duivel. Live in such a way that you think he's the devil's brother or sister. No, it says, for a righteous man may fall seven times. That's a lot, Jelle. And rise again. But the wicked shall fall by calamity. That means dis verby. Dis verby vir hulle. The righteous may fall seven times, but he will rise again. Psalm 34 and verse 19 says, the righteous person faces many troubles. Who faces many troubles? There's a psalm, I think it's Psalm 73 or Psalm 78. Talks about this guy. The psalmist says, Lord, I look at the wicked. No trouble befalls them. They're prospering. Their crops are flourishing. Their lives are good. Why must I even try and live on the straight and narrow when it's going so good for the wicked? Isn't it like that when you look around you, people? Honest businessmen, don't raise your hands in the house this morning. But how many of you honest businessmen, you thought to yourself, you know what? Check at these guys, eh? They're dodging young tax over there. They're cutting corners there. They're cutting deals here. They're dishonest here. They're dishonest there. I'm trying to live this. I'm honoring God with my finances, and it's just one blow after the next on my business. Surely, if I just start compromising a little bit here and there, I know that the enemy of your soul has whispered in your ears and tried to get you to compromise somewhere along the line. It does not pay. And that psalmist writes, he says, look at this. And then he says, suddenly I see the destruction that comes upon the wicked. Then I saw that at the end of the day, it's been worthwhile not compromising and following the Lord till the very end. Remain faithful to the end. Folks, this journey of ours is not a 100-meter sprint. It's a long-distance marathon. It says, the righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. So God's encouragement to us this morning, it's not a question of if we stumble, but when. When we stumble, who are we going to rely on? What are we going to do when we reach rock bottom? People have quoted this phrase. They say, it's tough times and difficult circumstances develop character. No, it doesn't. It just reveals your character. It just reveals your character. And you see, we say, oh, we learn lessons through, people have also said, experience is the best teacher. Well, not really, because the challenge is you normally always get the test before you've learned the lesson. You get the test before you learned the lesson. So experience is not the best teacher always. So tough times is not what develops character. It's the way you act, the decisions that you make, the choices that you make during those tough times that determines how your character is developed. That's what happens. So that is true. That it's not a question of if we're going to fall, but when we fall, how are we going to react? And so many times we kick against reaching rock bottom. But in the meantime, God might be busy with a process in our lives. It's important that we notice who falls. It's in these times of weakness that we'll experience the miraculous power of God sustaining us. It's in these times. So folks, like I said when I started, I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm not a naysayer. I'm a more of a glass half full guy than a glass half empty guy. But I want to tell you, things are going to get more difficult. Things are going to get more difficult. If you haven't experienced that, stick around. Just keep trying to live for Jesus, and you're going to see what's going to happen. I don't need to tell anybody how things are going in this country. And you know, folks, if you think it's unique to South Africa, please just broaden your perspective. Do a bit of research. Watch a little bit of the news, not so much that it starts smoking with your copy, but just do a bit of research and see what's going on in the world. And look, I'll be one of the first guilty ones to say, Lord, I confess. I criticize and moan and groan and point fingers about this government far more than I should be praying for them like the Word of God tells me to. I'm guilty of that. And may God help me change my heart and pray for them. Because the only difference between I nearly said those muhus, but those politicians and me is Jesus. That's the only difference. So I should be praying, Lord, may they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus before Satan steals their life. So before we think of this government, check bietjie die beslissings, but van die regerings oorsee, Mark. Some of the decisions that the people are making overseas, it is like, what? These are like the world leaders of first world countries. The decisions and the things that they're doing is absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So it's not just in South Africa. And a little bit further on in this message, we're going to see why. Why is this happening? Where's this all ending up? Where's it going towards? So embrace the rock bottom experience, ladies and gentlemen. My brother, my sister, know this, that whether you believe it or not, whether you see it or not, whether you understand it all of the time or not, God loves you unconditionally and has got a plan for your life. If you're not at a place where you're willfully, deliberately kicking against the things of God and walking against where God wants to take you to, God is busy with an awesome journey for you and your life. And it involves intense battles, immense struggles, but with the hugest and the sweetest victories that you can imagine. That's what's there. Nothing worthwhile in life comes easy. Nothing worthwhile having and keeping comes cheap. Nothing. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. I remember years and years and years ago when I had way more testosterone than brain cells, I decided I'm going to go into bodybuilding. I mean, like, what a joke. I mean, look at me. I mean, seriously. And I started reading these books and stuff like that. And I thought to myself, I said to my buddy, I said, you know what? I don't want to be big like these oaks. I'm just going to train that I'm lack of fit, just a good physique, you know, that I'm in shape. Because I thought, I'm just going to train. I'm going to take all these supplements. No vitamin S. I don't want to get involved. But I thought, I'm just going to build like a big. I thought it's just going to happen like this. Yeah. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifetime. That's all I can say. I thought that I'm just going to go and just pack on a few muscles and stuff like that. And then one day when the gym that I was a member of went bankrupt and were declared insolvent and they repossessed the assets, they took all of the muscles that I made up anyway. Al die spiere het daarmee heen gegaan ook. But folks, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. And this, to attain the things of God in your life, it's not something that you do and that you dabble in so now and then. It's lifestyle. It's like what you do. It's not like trying to fit the things of God in your life. God must be your life. Trying to get a little bit of Jesus here and a little bit of Jesus there. No. Your life must be enveloped in the things of God all the time. And I'm not talking about being a happy, clappy Jesus freak, somebody that you talk such spiritual stuff that the people here that die ongered is jou nie kan verstaan nie. They can't relate to you because, you know, no, just be real. And that's why when we stumble and fall, when we experience our rock bottom, sometimes, folks, it's then that our lives preach the best sermons ever. Our lives preach the best messages ever because die verlore mense kyk na ons en sê, okay, that's how you deal with it. They go through pain. They go through trials, tribulation, suffering. They also experience their prayers not being answered, death, pain, suffering, incurable diseases, financial difficulties. The Christians also experience it as well. But look how they respond. They still love Jesus. They still speak positively. They still have faith that God is in control. Even though God doesn't make sense, He can always be trusted. Even though He doesn't make sense, He can always be trusted. There's many things in the gospel that don't make sense to me, even with my theological degree. What? To excel, you must be abased. To receive, you must give. Huh? How does that work? Who've had that done? To be great, you must serve. Who've had that done? To receive, you must give. Because for me, 1 + 1 must equal 2. Not take one, give one away, keep one, and see how God adds. But that's the kingdom of God. So different. So rock bottom is not always a bad place to be. When we go through these struggles, when we go through these weaknesses, we can just be real and say, God, I learned this lesson when it came to the thing of forgiveness. I learned to forgive this way. I got to a place in my life where this worked for me. I don't know for you, it might be different. Your story might be different. But when I couldn't forgive, ek het vinnig tot die besef gekom that I can't forgive. I said, Lord, I quickly admitted, I can't. First of all, I can't. Second of all, I don't want to forgive. I don't want to forgive. I'm spitting mad. I'm so angry, I could tear a tissue. I could crush a grape. Ugh, net so. This wouldn't there. So gaan heel wat kwaad. It's an angry one. I didn't want to forgive, Yella. I didn't want to. I said, God. But I realized that if I don't forgive, the scripture teaches, the Bible teaches that God won't forgive me. And when I think people have done me so wrong, I just let my mind go a little bit back and I think, okay, what about all the times I done wrong to God? The times I blasphemed, the times I committed adultery, the times I murdered. Yes, the scripture says if I think you fool, you idiot in my heart, I've committed murder. Because that's the root cause of what grows into hate to the point where I'll murder somebody. You see, that's how God sees it. He is always, always, brothers and sisters, always looking at the condition of your heart. Always. Always. Remember when the prophet Samuel came to Jesse, he says, look among your sons. Amongst your sons is the next king of Israel. He found his biggest, tallest, best looking, his meanest son. Samuel said, no, that's not him. Well, God told him, no, that's not him. Then the next one, then the next one. And the little freckled teenage boy looking after the sheep out in the fields, that was the one. God said, that's my man. He's the man after my own heart. Because God knew that David is the guy who's trusting in him to help him protect the sheep from the wolves and the bears and the lions and the unroofed and lions and the unroofed eater. Because God looks at the heart. So when we are in our weakness, God wants us to be at this place. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, it says, this is Paul, a messenger of Satan, was sent to keep Paul at a specific place in his walk with God so that he didn't become exalted and proud. Look at me. Look how many people I've led to the Lord. Look how successful I am in Christian ministry. Look at the new building we've got. Look how many people are in church. Look how many people I've led to the Lord. Look how many likes there are on social media for the preacher. Hey, you know, the only person ever to be kicked out of heaven was the devil. And you know why he was kicked out? Because of pride. He said, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to be like the Most High. Because of pride. But if we can keep ourselves humble, and Paul had to have a messenger of Satan sent to him to keep him at that place. So, what boundaries are there in your life to keep you humble? Think about that. You think, Here, hierdie deurbraak kom net nie in my lewe nie. Maybe it's a boundary, my brother, my sister, to keep you humble. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, the scripture says, each time he said, this is Paul, after he prayed with God, Jesus gave him this answer, my grace is all you need. Nie 'n deurbraak nie, nie bonatuurlike vermoë om goed te kan bereik wat jy sonder my nie kan doen nie, nie dit nie, my grace is all you need. Folks, when do you need grace? When you're stumbling, when you're falling, when you're sinning. Not when you're flourishing, not when you're flying high, not when you're succeeding. Well, there you need it also, and perhaps maybe even more. But when you're really struggling, Jesus says, my grace is all you need. What an answer from Jesus to Paul. He says, my power works best in weakness. So now, Paul says, I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. If we're going to fight, let's fight the good fight of faith. If we're going to fall, let's fall into his arms underneath. If we're going to run, let's run the race with endurance. If we're going to shout, let's shout his praises. If we're going to doubt, let's doubt our own abilities and trust completely in God enabling us to do what he's called us to do. Sometimes we'll have to reach rock bottom to learn to trust the Lord completely. It may be our very own plans that are keeping us from God's best for our lives. Your own plans. When it comes to this concept of rock bottom, consider these phrases. Sometimes we won't know Jesus is all we need until Jesus is all we've got. Many years ago, I preached a message that God laid on my heart called Personal Gethsemane. Each one of us will have to get to a personal Gethsemane in our lives. What does that mean? What happened in the Garden of Gethsemane? Well, there's Jesus' disciples, his closest circle of support, friendship structure, and everything. He says, guys, he knew what was coming. They didn't really know. He knew what was coming, his hour of greatest, strongest temptation. Okay? In the garden, he said, guys, just watch with me for 1 hour. Just pray with me for 1 hour. Amongst these disciples was Peter. They said to him, Lord, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to be there till the very end. And where were they when Jesus needed them? Sleeping. When he needed his friends the most, they weren't there. They were gone. Then the arrest came and the people scattered. They fought a little bit. Cut off the oak's ear with a sword. Jesus put the oak's ear back. Het vir hom oor aangesit. Because he just wouldn't listen. But yeah, the disciples know. They try to fight a spiritual battle in the natural. When they needed Jesus the most, he was on his own. Ladies and gentlemen, there's going to come a time in our lives, my precious brother, my precious sister, you're going to have to get to a place in your life where all you've got is your intimacy with Jesus. Where, you know, Jesus' betrayal came from his circle of most intimate fellowship. His closest circle, that's where his betrayal came from. His denial from Judas betraying him. Peter denying him. Imagine that. His team that set the world ablaze, that started the church as we know it today. That's where the betrayal and the denial came from. So your closest circle of intimate fellowship, when those people let you down, that's what happened. And I learned forgiveness like this. I quickly said, God, I don't want to forgive. I can't forgive. Lord, help me. I asked God to help me forgive. And then a journey started, a process. So if I had to learn forgiveness, guess what happened in my life? People done some stuff. People done some stuff so that I had to learn forgiveness. How many of you are praying for patience? Guess what happens? God's going to send you in circumstances, we're going to learn patience. How many of you want to, jy wil deursettingsvermoë bietjie aanleer? He's going to give you circumstances where you're going to have to persevere. How many of you want to grow as a Christian? No hands are going up. Well, guess what? You're going to go through circumstances where you're going to learn lessons that you're going to have to learn so that you are going to be able to teach it to others also. You're going to have to go through some stuff. So guess what? So I give my life to the Lord and suddenly I'm appointed to preach, right? No. I had to learn some stuff. And then I get the opportunity and the privilege of being responsible to bring the Word of God to people. Guess what? A whole new set of lessons. A whole new set of lessons that we have to learn. And each one of us have our own lessons that we need to learn. So, reaching rock bottom. Sometimes we won't know Jesus is all we need till Jesus is all we've got. Listen to this phrase. I know it off by heart. I don't have to read it there. You've never really lived until you've almost died. And for those who have had to fight for it, life holds a flavor that the protected will never know. Sure. That became a reality when the closest time I've experienced coming to death, besides stuff in the police service when I served as a detective, was on an off-road ride one day where I was nearly taken out by a train. Quick story. We went to go ride out in the West Rand from Maresburg. From Maresburg garage through the mine dunes all the way to Uncle Harry's roadhouse. Come to a particular section where there's an unused railroad. The railroad is not in use anymore, and we often ride over it. You know when a railroad's not in use, how the ground and eventually gets to the level of the rails aren't above the ground anymore. The level of the ground, the top of the ground is level with the railroad. You can relate to what I'm saying? So I know the place. I've ridden there several times, many times in fact. I know this place. So I rode over the railway lines. And the next minute, I see, I'm looking into the eyes of the face of a train driver. His hat is skew, his little hat is skew in his head like this, and he's like this, because I'm about to be hit by the train. I knew it. I said, this is the day I meet Jesus, and I'll be taken out by this train. Because what happened is the following. They started excavating the ground over there, and for a massive, massive pipeline. And the ground was high, so high that it blocked the train. And I'm on a dirt bike, a two-stroke, ring, ding, 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 ding. This more sneeze, still knee. This ring, ding, ding. And I've got a helmet on. I didn't see the train, and I didn't hear the train. And I rode over the railway line. And as I rode over the railway line, here's the train. And the driver sees me, and we're like, and I got to the other side, and I was like, completely calm. And I look back, and the train's going past. Like this. It's an unused railway line. And not a passenger train, a goods train. And my off-road partner is on the other side. He's waiting for the train to go past. And then when the train goes past, I see his hands are like. He's like, what? I thought he's like cheering. He wasn't. He's flicking me. He's like, in his helmet, he's saying, Mozzie, what the, why? We get back to Roadhouse to take off my helmet. And once I was there, then the shock started setting in. That's the closest I've come to death. And I realized what's just happened is a miracle. And you know what I did? I phoned Colette. And you know why? I needed to hear her voice to convince myself that I was alive. Family, I'm not exaggerating. That's the reason I phoned her. I needed to hear her voice to convince myself that I was alive. And my buddy, like all of us, he's a work of grace in progress. He takes his helmet off, he lights a smoke, and he's flicking like a trooper. Mozzie, are you stupid? How can you do what I want? I'm going to tell you what he saw. I'm going to tell you what I experienced. I rode over those railway lines. It's flat. I didn't need to blip the throttle. I didn't even need to wheelie or get front wheel, back wheel, or ramp over nothing. I rode over the railway lines. I felt it. You know what my off-road buddy saw? He saw air between my wheels and the railway lines. His words, not mine. That's what he saw. My only explanation is an angel took me from that side of the railway line and put me on the other side of the railway line before that train flattened me. That's what he saw. I said, Mike, it's impossible. I didn't ramp. I didn't wheelie. He said, Mozzie, all I'm telling you is your wheels were over that railway line. Whew, like that. I wasn't yachting. I was waiting for him. So I went over the railway lines. Like that. That's what he saw. And I realized that saying I learned when I slid in the cops, for those who have had to fight for it, life holds a flavor that the protected will never know. And you've never really lived until you've almost died. So when we reach rock bottom, we're going to have to go through some stuff, ladies and gentlemen, that's challenging for us as people. Sometimes it's our very own plans that's keeping us out of God's best for our lives. Nicolene read it this morning for devotions with the offering. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Sometimes we have to get like, Lord, I don't know what to do now. I know Warren and them have been through something like that just recently. In fact, they're still on the tail end of it out now. We're like, what now, Lord? What do we do now? There's just nothing, and there's no one, there's nothing left, there's no answer. Life lesson learned. As the wisdom of this world and its systems are busy falling around us, the best thing for anyone to do is to humbly trust the Lord more and more. Brothers and sisters, family, the world and its systems are busy failing one by one by one. Many, many times over, statistics have shown that church attendance reaches a spike and spikes when disasters hit the people. Kyk bietjie rond vanoggend hoeveel leestoele daar is. Okay, lots of people away because the Warrior Wear rally and all sorts of stuff. But still, statistics have shown that church attendance spikes when disasters hit the people. Case in point, the transition from the old government to the new government in South Africa in 1994. People had prayed, started going to church like never before. Like never before. 9/11, when it hit America, the churches experienced people flooding the churches once more. When things like that happen, People start seeking the face of the Lord again. The things happening to you that you feel are knocking you to rock bottom might not be the devil attacking you. It might be the very hand of God upon your life, getting you to a place that you can experience the miraculous of God in a way you've never experienced Him before. It's not all bestraf the devil and rebuke and cast out and devil get behind me and whatever. It might be the very hand of God increasing the pressure on your life, like what's required to get precious metals out of the soil. A ton, I'm told, of ore to get an ounce of gold the size of my thumbnail, fingernail. A ton of ore to get an ounce of gold. And what that gold needs to be go through to be refined to get that precious metal out. Sometimes we need to go through these things. How can I say that? This backdrop. Young Joseph gets a dream. He dreams that basically his family, his brothers, his elders and everything, parents are all going to bow down to him one day. And he goes excited. He tells them about this dream. And what do? In jealousy, they sell him. So be careful who you share your dreams with. So Joseph shares his dreams with his brothers and they sell him for dead. Okay. Then he goes to Egypt. And he gets falsely accused on making moves on Mrs. Potiphar. Meantime, she makes the moves on him. And he gets imprisoned, falsely accused. Isn't it like, hey, God gives you this dream. That happened to Joseph when he was 13 years old. No, I apologize, 17. 17 years old. Then we see he gets brought out of, he gets exalted in Egypt when he's 30. What happened in those 13 years in Joseph's life? What happened there? The character development, the character development, the testing, reaching rock bottom. All the time through Joseph's life, his character was consistent, never denied God, never messed around, never proved unfaithful, all the time, remained faithful all the time. And then he's speaking to his brothers. You read in the Bible that his brothers get revealed to him. They don't even know it's him, and they end up bowing down to him exactly like the dreams that he got from God, and that gets fulfilled. And he says this in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. He says this, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position." Who brought him there? God. God arranged that he ends up being sold. God arranged that he ends up being thrown in prison because being falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And then being forgotten for another couple of years, 3 years I think, afterwards. Completely forgotten for doing nothing, just for being a man of integrity, being faithful, being true all the time. He says, God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. You see, folks, when God takes you through a time of testing and proving and character development, it's not only for your own good, especially it's for you being able to be a blessing to other people. That other people can look at your life, read your life story, read your difficulties and get you to be at a place where God can use you to be a blessing and a sermon through your lifestyle, through other people. So I wonder, where are you this morning, my brother, my sister? Having been at rock bottom already and coming out of it? On your way there still? Or right now as we speak at a place where it's rock bottom? Maybe you know somebody that's at a place with a rock bottom, where you can be a source of encouragement to them. In this times of, I nearly said biblical times, but we are living in biblical times. We are living out the book of Acts still as the church of Jesus Christ grows. But in older Bible times, there were professional mourners. When families suffered loss and death, there were people that would come and they were paid to cry. That's what they would do. I think most of them were probably ladies. I'm being serious. It was emotional creatures and stuff like that. And then there were others. You couldn't come with counseling or the three steps to success or this scripture verse, that scripture, do this, do that. All you did was just sit and listened. No advice, no counsel. You just sit and listened. That's it. Sometimes all we need from each other is just to have somebody to listen. Somebody who will give a shoulder for you to cry on. Oftentimes in counseling situations, you sit down, I say to people, you know what, I'm here today for you. I'm going to be your lightning rod. You can vomit all over me. Just let it all, I'm just going to listen. And you sit and you listen, and they pour their hearts out. They cry, and they rant, and they rave. And they throw all the toys out of the cot, and they break the cot and climb out of it. And you do nothing. And afterwards, they hug you, and they say, thank you. Thank you so much for everything you've done. And what did you do? Jy's net daar. Net beskikbaar. Net om te luister. You see, folks, it's been said, love is spelled T-I-M-E. Time. We live in a time where we have no time. We make no time for each other, and we live past each other. I'm starting to land this thing. I'm over my time limit anyway. But that's the story with Joseph. So the very thing that you think it's the devil getting me to rock bottom might be the very instrument or circumstance that God is using to get you to be at a place where you're at rock bottom, and you're going to see Jesus walking on the water. You're going to see Him speaking to the storms in your life. You're going to see the miraculous power of God in your life in a way you've never experienced before. So, I want to say this. Everyone needs to grasp the severity of our times, and that, listen carefully, folks, this is so important, that all the global occurrences that are happening in the world right now are leading towards the establishment of these three things. Did you get that? All the global occurrences happening in the world right now are leading towards the establishment of these three things. It's a fulfillment of scriptural prophecy, and yeah, they are. The establishment of a one world government, one world currency, and one world religion. All those things. When those things are in place, the Antichrist gets revealed, signs the peace treaty according to Daniel 9:27, and the rapture takes place. Ja, we come, Lord, if we're alive at that time. So, moenie dink, wat gaan aan in die wêreld? Folks, this is happening. So, we also can't just stand back and say, right, let it all go down to hell. We've got to testify and share our faith and encourage and admonish and lift up people and teach and preach and share and walk our walk with Jesus until such time that these things come into place. So that is why financial systems are collapsing. Folks, there is no other way out, financial bailout on the planet, but a one world currency. There is no other way out. That's why it's going that way. There is no political solution, but a one world government. And there is no ways there's going to be peace amongst all these different faiths, unless there's a one world religion, where they say there are many ways to Christ. Now, today, the mixture between Islam and Christianity, they're calling Chrislam. Check it out. It's there. It's there. All of this. One world religion, one world government, one world currency, making preparation for the Antichrist, sign the peace treaty, and rapture, here we come, if we're alive at that time. The scripture speaks of signs and wonders. And when these things happen, these are signs for those that know. These are signs for those that know. And for those that don't know, they wonder, what the hell gaan aan? They wonder what's happening. We know. It's a fulfillment of Scripture. It's a fulfillment of Scripture. So, Psalm 61 and verse 2. Two more scriptures and I'm done. From the ends of the earth, I cry to you for help. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the towering rock of safety. So sometimes when we reach rock bottom, it's not the worst case scenario when Jesus is our rock. From the ends of the earth, I cry out to help for you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock of safety. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's how it says it in the New King James. And Isaiah 26 and verse 4, trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. That's God. He's our rock. He's the one we can rely on. He's the one that's faithful and true. The one who was and who is to come. The one who will never leave you, never forsake you, will always be there for you. Trust in God when we reach rock bottom. Let's pray as we close off church. Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for this time of encouragement. We thank you that we can declare your word over our lives and believe what you say over us, Lord. Thank you that your word is true. When systems made by man and man himself fails, you never fail. You're the one who never sleeps or slumbers. You're the one who watches over us, Lord. You're the one who always, always has our best interests at heart. Thank you that your love for us is unconditional. And Lord, this morning we pray for ourselves and we pray for each other. And we ask, Lord God, that if we're on our way to rock bottom, we will know that underneath are your everlasting arms. If we are at a place in our lives right now where we are at rock bottom, thank you that we can look to you. And if we've been there, Lord, thank you that we can take these life lessons and be of benefit and a blessing to other people. We thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We love and appreciate you all. Have a Jesus-filled week. Thank you for coming to church this morning. God bless you. See you next time.